that as we're ministering unto God, God will begin to reveal his mind unto you. And if you know it, please, we want you to sing along with us. Amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Right now, and we want you to sing this song with us with all your heart. And I believe that as you open your heart to sing this song, the Lord will begin to reveal his mind unto you in any decision, in anything you want. It will begin to reveal it unto you. I want you to say, show me your way, Almighty God. Show me your way.
Show me your way.
Show me your way
that I may walk. Show me your way.
I put my hope
in you.
The cry of my heart
is to love
hands, say, God, show me your ways.
Show me your way, that I may walk with you. Show me your way. I put my hope in you.
The cry of my heart,
the cry of my heart is to love you more, to live with a touch of your hand, stronger each day. Show me your ways.
Lift your hands to heaven. Let's lift our hands to the Almighty God. With our heart of submission to Him, will you please cry unto Him, Lord, I want to fulfill my purpose. Show me your way. I want to fulfill my purpose on earth. Show me your way. Show me your way. You made your ways known unto Moses. Show me your way. Moses cry of the heart is, Lord, I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me your way. What is the cry of your own heart this morning, my brethren? Will you cry to the Almighty God that, Lord, show me your way, so that your purpose for my life can be fulfilled, so that your intention for creating me can be fulfilled, so that your reason for my existence can be fulfilled, can be realized. I don't want to walk aimlessly in life. I don't want to walk aimlessly in life. I want the cause for your creation to be fulfilled in my life. Show me your way. You have produced me for a purpose. You have produced me by purpose and for a purpose. Let the purpose of creating me be fulfilled, O God. Let it not be disappointed, Lord. Let it not be disappointed, Lord. I want my life to have a meaning. I want my life to have a meaning. I want the purpose of my existence to be discovered and to be deployed. Show me your way, Almighty God. Show me your way, Almighty God. I want to know my purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose. Jesus Christ fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose, Almighty God. And Paul the Apostle fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose. Moses fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose. Joseph fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose. Jeremiah fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose. Elijah the prophet fulfilled his purpose. I want to fulfill my purpose, oh God. Oh, the cry of my heart is, Lord, show me your way. Show me your way this morning. In the name of Jesus. And give me the grace to follow your way. Give me the grace to fulfill your purpose for my life. Give me the grace to fulfill my destiny. Lord, cry of my heart this morning is, as you reveal your purpose, your way unto me, O God, you give me the grace. You give me the grace. In the open heaven of yesterday, Joseph, pray that you will not only know your purpose, but you will be able to fulfill your purpose. Then your life will have a meaning. Then your life will have an impact. Then your life will have a direction. Then you will not be going about aimlessly. You will not be beating about the bush. This morning, the cry of my heart is to know your way, to know your purpose, and to key myself into it, and to deploy myself into it, and to pursue it, and to fulfill it, O God. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. This morning, Father, we are here again before you. You speak unto us. The entrance of your word, it gives light. And it gives understanding unto the simple. Through your word this morning, give us light. Enlighten our darkness. Enlighten our darkness. Let your light shine into every confusion of our life. Let there be understanding. Let there be revelation. Let there be grace available to fulfill our purpose in Jesus' name. Give us the strength to fulfill our purpose in Jesus' name. Empower us to be visionaries and missionaries of purpose in the name of Jesus. Transform our life this morning. Let us never, never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. I don't hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Give him praise as we take our seats. Thank you, choir. Amen. This morning we are continuing our series on revelation of God's purpose. And we are going to briefly share on the fact that you need to be purpose-driven. Be purpose-driven. Let somebody say, be purpose-driven.
Be purpose-driven.
Tell your brother or sister by your side, be purpose-driven in life. Hallelujah. Why people are not producing results is because they are not purpose-driven. Because you do something today, you do another thing tomorrow, and then you don't actually get any result. Master of all, jack of all trades, and that will not be your lot in Jesus' name. That will not be my lot in Jesus' name. God has a purpose for everything. Like the Bible passage that we read, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells us, and we know, we can read it together, Romans 8. Quickly open to it, please. Romans 8, verse 28. Engineering, are you putting this on the screen for us? Romans 8, verse 28. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Romans 8, 28. Okay, let's read it together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. Once again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You are called according to his purpose. God has a purpose for saving your souls. You are not just an accident. You are not just saved. God has a purpose for it. God has a purpose for your creation. Hallelujah. God has a purpose for bringing you to the Redeemed Christian Church of God. God has a purpose for making you an engineer, a doctor, a professional in your field. God has a purpose for sparing your life. God does not do anything without a purpose. But this morning, I want to concentrate on how you can fulfill your eternal purpose. As you are purpose-driven, there are many dimensions to it, but we want to just look at the aspect of fulfilling your eternal purpose. There are three main areas or dimensions that the Holy Spirit ministers to me, and there was so much to discuss on that line. God permitting us, we discuss on one of the dimensions or three areas of fulfilling your eternal purpose. The first dimension or area I have places as enriched dimension of fulfilling your purpose. Enriched dimension of fulfilling your purpose. The second area is outreach dimension number one of fulfilling your purpose, and outreach dimension number two of fulfilling your purpose. Outreach dimension number one of fulfilling your purpose has to do with willing souls and discipling others to Christ. And outreach dimension number two of fulfilling your purpose has to do with discovering and deploying your ministry gift. Discovering and deploying your ministry gift. Let's look at the first dimension or area of fulfilling your purpose. Once you are able to fulfill all this area and you awarded yourself pass mark in this three area, then you are on the right course in life. You are on the right course of fulfilling what your God, your maker, your creator has made you for in life. So you have to assess where you are as we consider these three areas or dimensions of fulfilling your purpose. You have to weigh yourself. And that's why this morning's message is not like a popular message. It might look a bit hard on you. But guess what? God has a purpose for you so that you can be what He wants you to be in life. And so that at the end, you will not be put to shame. You will not be put to shame in Jesus' name. The first dimension, which is I call enriched dimension. Under enriched dimension, I have, number one, attending Sunday service on the Lord's Day. There are six of them. You can list them, then we discuss it. Number one, attending Sunday service on the Lord's Day. Number two, attending Bible study. Number three, attending prayer meetings. Number four, attending house fellowships. Number five, attending special programs. Number six, personal devotion and worship. Personal devotion and worship. These six areas equip you and help you fulfill God's purpose for your life. These six areas equips you and helps you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. God's reason for creating you. God's original intention for your life. Attending Sunday service, six on the Lord's Day, attending Bible studies, attending prayer meetings, attending house fellowship, attending special programs, and number six, personal devotion or family devotion, or a combination of two. It equips you to fulfill God's purpose for your life. Any child of God that deliberately misses any of these programs, like sitting down at home, watching EastEnders, or Arsenal versus Man U, it's not being wise or purposeful. It's not being wise or purposeful in decisions on how you can fulfill God's purpose for your life. The person is not being wise. It's not being serious in fulfilling God's purpose for his life. And there will be signs. The person will not be shining for the Lord. The person will find it hard doing the things of God. When you begin to make wrong decisions as to how you use your time, when God expects you to be in God's house, in a Bible study, or a prayer meeting, or a Sunday service on the Lord's Day, or having a personal devotion with Him, and you sit down watching EastEnders, you sit down looking at internet for hours, not because you are doing your project or you are doing your work, you know, spending hours on the internet to the detriment of your spiritual life. There's no way that person will be shining for the Lord. There's no way. Look at Acts chapter 2. The early church, we said there were people that turned the world upside down or right side up. Right side up is the right word, but the unbeliever, you say, they turn it upside down because it's not favorable to them. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible says, and with 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Then what happened to the church? And they continued. Say with me, and they continued.
And they continued.
In what way? Steadfastly. Let's say steadfastly.
Steadfastly.
Diligently, continuously, no breaking, steadfastly. They continued steadfastly in what? In the apostle doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued, verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. These are people that have discovered their destiny. And they took the right decisions. They were purposeful. They were committed to the things of God. They were committed to their services. They were committed to Bible studies. They were committed to prayer meetings. They were committed to their personal, to house fellowship, and to their personal devotion with God, to their worship with God, to their walk with God. They were committed to it because they are people of purpose. How many people of purpose were here? May it be so in Jesus' name. If you don't come to this program, then you fail to benefit from the ministries that God has released to the church to make you fulfill your purpose. You can't fulfill your purpose in isolation. Like they normally say, your vision is bigger than yourself. You need people to help you make it in life, make you fulfill your purpose. And God has put the ministry gift there in the church to help you to fulfill your purpose. So when you fail, when you took wrong decision and you fail to be where God wants you to be, you will not be able to benefit. You will not be able to have access to other ministry gifts, especially pastoral gifts that will build you up, that will perfect you and make you to be what God wants you to be. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to encourage you to be what God wants you to be till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto which kind of man? A perfect man. Let somebody say, a perfect man. Unto a perfect man. So when you fail, when you take it like any other thing, then you are not making a right decision about fulfilling God's purpose for your life. That's why the early church is in their schedule, in their agenda, to attend Sunday service, to attend prayer meetings, to attend Bible studies, to attend house fellowship, to have personal devotion, because they were people of purpose. It touched my heart these days because many of us, we are not making right decisions and it's not helping or fulfilling our purpose. We find it hard to do the things of God because we are not making right decisions as to fulfilling God's purpose for our life. May the Lord give us the grace today to change in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. And this is what the pastors are expected to do, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. The pastors are to feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding to help your purpose. Knowledge and understanding about God, about the ways of God, about fulfilling God's plans, God's programs, God's intention, God's purpose for your life. So when you fail to be where you can make contact with your pastors, with your minister, with your teachers, then in other words, you are one way or the other saying that I'm not ready to fulfill my purpose. I'm not ready to get knowledge. I'm not ready to get understanding. And that's why God wants his people God wants his people. God told them in the same Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married with you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, to the praise, to the city of the living God." Verse 22 also, verse 22, "Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Amen. He said we should return like backsliding children unto the Lord. We should return because God is interested in our fulfilling our purpose. God is our maker. The devil is not our maker. The devil will bother you with so many other things. The flesh will bother you with so many other things to the detriment of fulfilling God's purpose for your life. It is time that you begin to make right decisions as to the end product, as to fulfilling God's program, God's purpose for your life. The grace God will give unto us in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You can't be sharpened and prepared unto good works if you are not making right decisions as to where you should be. As to this 6-point enrich point as to fulfilling your purpose. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God, that the people of God, that the disciples of God, that the children of God, that the believers may be perfect, thoroughly do what? Furnished unto all good work, prepared. You cannot be prepared until the scripture, the word of God, sharpens you, quickens you, give you knowledge and understanding about your purpose. God wants to prepare you as a vessel unto honor in his hand, as a special vessel in his hand. The Bible says, if you look at the same 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 20. It says, "But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but of wood and of art, and some to honor and some to dishonor." May you be vessels unto honor in Jesus' name. Amen. "If a man therefore purified, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good works." There is a work that has to be done to every vessel to make it a vessel unto honor, a vessel of gold, a vessel of silver, a vessel of diamond, a special vessel, not ordinary vessel, not a vessel unto which everybody will march upon. Hallelujah. There's a work that has to be done to your life by the ministry gift so that you can be a shining vessel, a golden vessel, a vessel unto honor that is prepared unto every good work. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. The Bible says, "If an axe is not sharpened, it cannot produce. If it is dull, if it is blunt, it cannot produce anything. It will just remain as it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. "If the iron be blunt and it do not wedge the edge, then must it be put to more strength. It will be harder work. But wisdom is what? Is profitable to direct." Wisdom is profitable to direct. The Message Bible says, "The duller the axe, the harder the works." The duller the axe, the harder the works. Then it says that, use your head. Use your head. He said, the more brains, the less muscles. The more brains, the less muscles. Let's always say, the more brains, the less muscles. Hallelujah. The less hard it will be, the less hard it will be. Wisdom is profitable to direct. If the axe is blunt, it's dull. It won't be able to produce. And that is what is happening to our purpose. It's not, the axe is blunt, it's dull. And therefore we remain the same. We are not producing the way God wants us to produce. But I pray that things will begin to change from today in Jesus' name. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. As I prepare this, the Holy Spirit just keep on giving me verses so that you can be quickened. You can have understanding about enriched dimension of fulfilling your purpose. It's very, very important. It's very, very important. It makes a difference between mediocres and outstanding people when the enriched aspect or dimension of purpose is not fulfilled. Then the real purpose will not be realized. John chapter 15, hear what the Lord said. He says in verse 1, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. How will it bring forth more fruit? When there is purging. When there is purging. It is through the ministry gift that you can discover yourself, your weaknesses, the area of correction, the area you need to sharpen so that you can be able to produce more fruits. And the Lord said in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now you become better. There is what is called progressive sanctification. It is the word of God that sanctifies you and make you to be progressively separated unto God and to his purpose for your life. But if you are not exposed to the word, to the ministry gift, you can't be able to fulfill your purpose. It will be very difficult. And so the Lord said further in his own John chapter 15, he says in verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Praise God. The need to take seriously your enriched dimension of fulfilling your purpose is very, very important. In Malachi chapter 3, it says that he will come unto you as a refiner's fire and as a fuller, so he will purify you like gold and silver so that you can offer unto God an offering in righteousness. You can offer unto God according to his purpose. You can be able to fulfill your purpose. In 2 Kings chapter 3, Elisha left his business and decided to stay under Elijah in order to fulfill his purpose. So when the time comes, they are looking for who has the word to deliver to the people. 2 Kings chapter 3, they said, go and get Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him? And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah. And Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Hallelujah. Said, the word of God is with him. Go and get him for us. Hallelujah. Because he was exposed to the ministry gift. He benefited from the ministry gift, and he was prepared to fulfill his role as a prophet in Israel. May the Lord reorientate your lifestyle so that you can fulfill your purpose. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Thessalonian Christians, they were exposed to the ministry of Paul the Apostle as their teacher, as their pastor. Paul the Apostle said he took them as his children, that, as a mother teaching his children, he nourished them, he cherished them, he prepared them. By the end of the day, the Thessalonian Christians were one of the best Christians in the early church. In the early church. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10 to 12, Paul the Apostle commended the Berean Christians and declared that these Christians were special Christians, they were noble Christians, because they come under the ministry gift, they received the word of God, and they continued to share the word of God, whether they were so, and so they were prepared unto every good work, and so they were shining for the Lord, and so they were considered noble Christians. May God have that testimony about you, that you are noble Christians. Amen. Noble in holiness, noble in love, noble in faith, noble in power, in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 17, look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and shared the scripture daily, whether those things were so. They were more honorable. They were more noble. They were special before God because they took their destiny serious. They took the enriched dimension of the ministry serious. And they became different from the other disciples. They became special unto the Lord. May you become special unto the Lord. Amen. From today, in the name of Jesus. Amen. It was through fellowship that the early church got the baptism of the greatest gift, the Holy Spirit. They were fellowshipping, and on the day of Pentecost, the power of the Holy Ghost came upon them. True fellowship, through fulfilling the enriched dimension of purpose, they were empowered with the greatest gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was through fellowship that when they were threatened as to fulfilling their purpose, when they are being threatened as to fulfilling their purpose, they receive strength and grace to continue. It was true purpose. When you read Acts chapter 4, they came together again and prayed. And the Bible says the power of God came upon them. They were strengthened. They were able to do greater exploit. Bless you. And the Bible says great grace was upon them. Because true fellowship. The importance of fellowship. It was through fellowship that individual needs were met. Individual needs of the church were met through fellowship. Individual needs, those that lack, their needs were supplied through fellowship. Through fellowship, we care for one another. Through fellowship, your spiritual needs will be met in order for you to prepare for your purpose and to fulfill your purpose. It was through fellowship that they prayed for Peter and was delivered from death and from the expectation of the enemy. It was through fellowship. The church gathered together, they were praying and they are praying until Peter the apostle was delivered from bondage, from death, and from the expectation of death. I could recollect a couple of times that as we are having meetings, maybe workers' meetings, the word of God will just come in that we should pray for a particular person. Maybe the person is on trip, on journey, that we should pray. Something is happening to that sister or brother at that particular time. And by the time the sister or brother will come back to church, we say, Pastor, this and this are my experiences. At this time, we are praying. At the time we are praying, the Holy Spirit signal unto us and we pray and the Lord intervene and save lives. Praise God. Through fellowship, through church, through meetings, people are delivered from death. People are delivered from death. Their lives were not cut short before fulfilling their destiny. Through fellowship, you can have access. As we have said, you can have access to, and benefit to the ministry of other gifts in the body. Especially the pastoral ministry, as we have mentioned earlier. Through fellowship, through the church and fellowship, you can multiply your results. You can multiply your results in fulfilling your purpose. Through fellowship, you can multiply your results. Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 30 says, one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will be able to put 10,000 to flight. Hallelujah. Through fellowship, you can multiply your result. Unknowingly, when we play with this enriched aspect of purpose fulfillment, when we play with the enriched aspect of purpose fulfillment, it means that we are playing with our destiny. Tell somebody, stop playing with your destiny. Let's say it loud and clear. Hallelujah. Look at how many of us, by the way, want to fulfill our destiny. Then stop playing with your destiny. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Read it with me, please. Yes? Without counsel, purposes are. But in the multitude of counselors, they are what? Yes? Okay, no, that's just the one. I want different versions now. Okay, sister, give me your version.
Plans fail without good advice, but they succeed with the advice of many others.
Can you hear that? Plan fail. Purposes are disappointed. Any other version? A lot of purposes are disappointed. Plans fail. Without advice, without teaching, without instruction in righteousness. A lot of us, we don't know that unknowingly we are playing with our purpose, with our destiny, because we are not exposed to this ministry gift. And that's why the lifestyle of David was to pursue God, because he was a child of purpose. He was a king of purpose. In Psalm 27, let's look at Psalm 27. We just take, because of time, let's take verse 4. I'm trying to round up. But it said, one thing have I desire of the law, that will I seek after, that I may dwell house of the law all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the law and to inquire in his temple. He pursued after God. He pursued after personal devotion. Psalm 55, if you go forward, verse 17. 55, verse 17. We are entering into the new year. And that's why God is trying to lay a good foundation for you. So that this year will be a marked difference in your life. It will not be just like any other year. It will not be just merry-go-round. It will be a different year. May this year be a different year for you, for your destiny, for your purpose in life, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Verse 17, he said, every evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He was particular about fulfilling his purpose. So he didn't joke with his enriched dimension of purpose. He didn't joke with his personal worship and dimension. Some of us, we are last, we wake up, we wake up, we roll up and down the bed. Before you know it, it's time to go to work. No personal devotion. No personal devotion. We are playing with our purpose. So we need to change. We need to change. God is seeking for true worshipers who will be truly and fully committed unto him. Come rain, come sunshine, weather, family, jobs, studies, etc. are not a barrier to their worshiping God as they have discovered their purpose in God and Christ. They've discovered their purpose. Time will not permit us. David, in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14, because he discovered his purpose, he became a worshiper of God, and he said, God said concerning him, that I've discovered a man that is after my heart. That is after my heart. He said, he is the one that will fulfill my purpose. He is the one I'm choosing to fulfill my purpose as a king. God removed Saul and then replaced him with David. May you not be replaced. Amen. The danger of not fulfilling our purpose is that because God has packaged an assignment for you with your purpose, if you don't fulfill that purpose on time, God will look for a suitable replacement. That's the danger about it. Your times are in the hand of God. Your time is not in your own hand. Your times are in the hand of God. That's why David said in Psalm 31, verse 15, he said, my times are in your hand. My times, O Lord, is in your hands. And so he is careful with the way he uses his time, decisions he makes about his times. Because you may think that I am 40, I still have 40 more years. But the owner might say, no, you don't have 40 more years. You know? I had an accident yesterday. You know, I was sandwiched between two cars. You know, maybe God I might have been taken yesterday, I don't know. The car was mangled together. Hallelujah. So I might have gone. But the question when I appear because God is, God will be asking, have you fulfilled your purpose? All of that thing will be inconsequential. The question will be, have you fulfilled the reason why I made you? Have you fulfilled it? God is asking you the same question. All your decisions you are making, is it geared towards your purpose? Let's bow down heads in prayers. Cry to God this morning that, God, I don't want just to live this year like any other year. God helping us next week, we now be able to look at the other dimensions, which is much going to repurpose fulfillment now. So, but talk to God this morning, Father. Every decision I make this year, let it be towards purpose fulfillment. Let it be towards purpose fulfillment. Let it not be emotional decisions. Let it not be fleshly, carnal decisions. Let it be purpose-driven decisions. Help me, my Father. Release the grace to fulfill my purpose. In Jesus' wonderful name, we pray. Father, we thank you for sending your word unto us. Glory be to your holy name. Be exalted in the name of Jesus. Thank you for delivering the pastor from death yesterday. Thank you that I'm alive, ill and healthy, strong and healthy today. And so your people. Glory be to your holy name. Please accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. We don't want to come into this world and go like that without fulfilling our purpose. Help us, Father, to really discover our purpose,
and to deploy ourselves to the purpose. To fulfill your purpose for our lives. Help us, Father. Release the grace to everyone hearing this message to fulfill our purpose in life. So that at the end of the days, we may be able to say like Jesus that it is finished. We'll be able to say like Paul the Apostle, I have finished my course. Let this be our testimony in life in Jesus' name. Glory be to your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
And amen.